Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12. And if you'd like to have your blue bulletin open at the inner fold, there's some verses from Proverbs that we'll also be using today. Let's ask God's help. Father, we would draw close. We would hear the words from you. And Lord, may your people only hear the words from you. If there's anything of man in this message, just block our minds to it, Lord. Lord, we pray that we'd hear from your word today and we'd be changed by the word of God. Help us to be the right kind of parents, the right kind of grandparents, the right kind of people in your church family. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been talking in our series on the home on first-time obedience. And the title of this morning's message is The Rod, Part 3. If you haven't already done so, sit down with your children. I'm particularly thinking of the toddler stage here and say, you know, kids, mummy and daddy haven't been asking from you first-time obedience, but we want to do that from now on. So let's play a little game here. I want to send you into the next room, and when you hear mummy or daddy call, we want you to come. We want you to answer, yes, daddy, or yes, mummy, and we want you to come running, and we'll give you a great big hug. One dad was teaching his three-year-old this little game, and he did it 29 times, he reports. And then as he was tucking her into bed that night, he said, now, starting tomorrow, when mummy or daddy call, that's what you're supposed to do, with a yes, daddy, or a yes, mummy. Children will learn, but parents have to set the standard of first-time obedience and train their children to that standard. So we ask the question, what if they don't come? Children must learn that when they don't come with a yes, daddy, or yes, mummy, there will be consequences. That's where the rod comes in. And we asked last time, what does the discipline of the Lord look like? And we answered that question saying, from Proverbs, we can make four statements about the discipline of the Lord. We can make four statements about the rod to help us see what the discipline of the Lord looks like. And last time, we looked at the first two statements regarding the rod. Statement number one, the rod does not damage the child. Well, of course not. The rod doesn't damage the child, it helps the child. We made a clear distinction between the rod and child abuse, and we showed how actually the discipline of the Lord prevents child abuse. The second statement we made was the rod removes rebellion. The rod helps the child. It helps the child, not harms the child. It helps the child by removing rebellion, driving out the foolishness from a child's heart, leaving a child with a sweet, submissive attitude. And that sweet, submissive attitude is the foundation for being able to present the gospel to the child and they accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We also discussed four common problems when the rod didn't seem to be working in your particular family or household. Today we're going to make two further statements about the rod that will clearly define for you what the discipline of the Lord is. We do not want worldly spanking, nor do we want the permissiveness of the world. What we want is godly discipline that produces godly seed. Amen? That's where we're going. So following on from last week, the third statement on the rod from Proverbs that identifies the discipline of the Lord is the rod is associated with love. The rod is associated with love. We certainly mentioned this in passing last time, but I want to take this a little bit further. We start with Proverbs 13 and verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. You could paraphrase the verse this way. If you do not spank your child, you do not care about me. You do not care about him. If you really cared about the way your child turned out, you would discipline him promptly. Other translations say discipline him carefully or discipline him diligently. But the Hebrew word here, shakar, is a time word referring to early. Discipline him promptly. Now, immediate discipline in a public place is not always possible or appropriate, especially in our age. But the Bible word is not immediate. The Bible word is promptly. At home, immediate discipline would normally be appropriate, but it should always be prompt. Note the discipline is with a rod. The old maxim, spare the rod and spoil the child, is true. You can ruin a child as if you hated him, simply by deciding never, ever to spank. You show your love by spanking your child when they fail in first-time obedience. The rod is associated with love. It is the rod. It is love that motivates the use of the rod. It's because I love him that I spank him. And it is love that determines the way that the rod is used. The spanking should be done in love. That exactly parallels how God spanks us. And we saw in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 last week, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. And scourges every son he receives. Yes, God scourges or spanks us in love through the circumstances of life. And as parents, we should spank our children in love through the use of the rod. New Zealand's $2 million Glen report was released earlier this week, on Monday, I think, in regard to domestic violence and in regard to child abuse. I read enough quotes from the report to feel depressed, discouraged, disgusted at the very black, dark wickedness of the heart of men. One little boy watched his dad sit on his sister's face so she couldn't breathe till she went limp and pale, and when he got distressed about that, the father thought it was funny. Can you understand such wickedness? And there was much worse, things I couldn't repeat here this morning. No wonder there is a proper outcry against child abuse. But that which I've just described is as far from the discipline of the Lord as the East is from the West. Real and tragic abuse should not lead you to avoid spanking. That would amount to, according to this verse, that would amount to hating your child. Real and tragic child abuse should lead you to make sure that any spanking is done in love. So in application, let me make some statements about the misuse of the rod. Number one, the first statement about the misuse of the rod, loving use of the rod is never in anger. And we mentioned last time that if the child has done something to anger the parent, the parent needs to send the child to their room. The parent needs to go to their own bedroom, get down on their knees, and settle their hearts before God until they are no longer angry, and then go and discipline the child. Loving use of the rod is never in anger. Number two, loving use of the rod is not hitting our children whenever we wish, just on whim, because they're a nuisance. Loving use of the rod is not hitting our children whenever we wish. We only have the right to use the rod when God says that we have the right to use the rod. Parental authority is exercised under God's authority. And God is watching us parents. He knows what we're doing. And our discipline should reflect his discipline. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 7 continues, if you endure chastening, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there else a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, if God doesn't discipline you, of which we all have all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. It's doubtful that you're saved if God doesn't discipline you. Furthermore, verse 9 says, we have human fathers who corrected us and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more be readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they, our earthly parents, indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them. But he, our heavenly Father, for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, It yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We do not spank on whim. We do not spank for accidents. And we do not spank because the child is a nuisance to us. God gives us the right to spank in love for disobedience and when our child disobeys his laws. Number three, loving use of the rod is not venting frustration. So these first three are very similar, aren't they? The rod, when used in love, is never in anger. It's not hitting our children when we wish, and it's not venting frustration. The rod is not a means of releasing pent-up parental rage. Number four, loving use of the rod is not... Now, this one's a surprise, I think. Loving use of the rod is not punishment. Listen to this. Proverbs 13 and verse 24 again. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him. It doesn't say punishes, it says disciplines him promptly. Can you see the difference between punishment and discipline or correction? Punishment is a dead-end street. The child sins, the parent punishes, finished. But that is not what is being called for here in Proverbs. We're calling for the discipline of the Lord. We're calling for a correction. Discipline or correction is not a dead-end street. It's a U-turn. The discipline of the Lord is used to correct a child, to get them back on the right path, to help them to go straight. Also, the discipline of the Lord is a restoration. When a child has disobeyed a parent, there's a breaking in relationship between the parent and the child. And the time of the spanking is to restore relationship with the parent. Verse 24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him, corrects him, turns him back, restores him promptly. The Hebrew word for discipline there is mukar, reproof, correction, discipline, instruction, training. And that correction is meant to lead to, number one, a restored relationship, and number two, a U-turn in the child's life, repentance, so that they turn back. It's not mere punishment finished. Thus, the loving use of the rod, because it restores relationships, is going to draw parents and children together. Number five, loving use of the rod does not damage relationships. As I've just explained, loving use of the rod restores relationships. So let's see how far we've come in 2 weeks. We've said the rod does not damage the child, and we've just said it doesn't damage the relationship between the parent and the child. The rod removes rebellion from the child's heart. We're seeking to shepherd a child's heart, not just get outward behavior. And number three, the rod is associated with love. Therefore, the rod should be seen as a wonderful thing and a proper thing in a child's life. But because of the pressure of the world that says that we shouldn't spank these days, I suspect there's probably some parents out here still reluctant to use the rod. So I could just repeat Proverbs 13 and 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. That would be enough just to quote that verse. But let me also deal with some objections. I'm anticipating some objections. Let's deal with those. Number one, objection number one. I love my child too much to spank him. Well, if you will not do the best thing for your child, and we've been reading in verse after verse here in Proverbs that the best thing for your child is spank him, if you do not do the best thing for your child, you do not love your child enough. The parent who trusts God's wisdom says, I love my child too much not to spank him. Objection number two. I'm afraid I will hurt him. Well, yes, discipline is meant to hurt. I think what the person is saying, I'm afraid I will injure him. That injury would be wrong. But loving use of the rod will hurt. We read in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11, now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but what? Painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So, in summary, there should be pain, but not injury. If there's injury, that's abuse. So, I'm afraid I will hurt him. Yes, discipline will hurt him, but it shouldn't be so severe that it causes injury. Objection number three, I'm afraid I will make him rebellious and angry. Actually, exactly the opposite is true. Proverbs 29 and verse 17 says, correct your son and he will give you trouble. He will give you rest. Yes, he will delight your soul. An age of permissiveness. We've watched since the 1960s the permissiveness of parenting. And what we've raised is a crop of rebellious, angry teens. Permissiveness, very slack parenting on the one hand, or overly harsh parenting on the other hand, will raise angry teens. But that is not the discipline of the Lord. The discipline of the Lord yields children who are at peace with you. It yields children that have soft hearts to you, to authority, and to the things of God. Objection number four, when I teach my children to be violent, loving use of the rod is the opposite to hitting in anger. Loving use of the rod is the opposite to violence. Loving use of the rod teaches your children how they can be good parents one day. That's what it teaches them. It doesn't teach them violence. Objection number five, it doesn't work. Yes, it does. It does work. God's word says it works. If it's not working, are you spanking in anger? Are you being inconsistent? Are you making sure that it is painful enough that they get the message? Or are you giving up too early? Objection number six, I'll be arrested for child abuse. No, you won't. Administer discipline in love in your own home. If behavior becomes intolerable in public, take them home and discipline them there. And they'll learn that they can't get away with it when they're in public. So then remember Proverbs 13 and verse 24. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. The final statement on the rod from Proverbs that explains the discipline of the Lord is the rod alone is not enough. Now I hope that you know that intuitively. Parenting is not by mere spanking. The rod alone is not enough. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. The rod itself is combined in this verse with verbal correction, a rebuke. The three previous verses that we've looked at over these last 2 weeks in the book of Proverbs might have led you to believe that spanking is the only way to parent. The discipline of the Lord alone, you might have come to the conclusion that discipline of the Lord alone is the only way to parent. May I recall the super summary of parenting that we looked at in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4? And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in, one, the training, and two, the admonition of the Lord. There's both the discipline of the Lord and there's the instruction of the Lord back there. Yes, the discipline of the Lord is needed, but it's only a percentage. It's only a part of parenting. The instruction of the Lord is also needed. And we've dealt with that other times too. So Proverbs 29 and verse 15, when it says the rod and rebuke, it reminds us of the place of the rod in the overall context of parenting as it is taught in the Bible. Let's read that verse again. The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself, just let a child go, and he will bring shame to his mother. Yes, there is the rod, but also rebuke is needed. And there are many other tools apart from the rod and apart from the rebuke in the parent's workshop, that workshop that has the tools that enable you to shape a child's heart. Some of the tools that you have at your disposal as parents, we've mentioned previously, but let's mention some further tools today. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. We want a wise child. We want a godly child, so we bring the rod and rebuke to our children. First, consider God's rebuke of us. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6, for whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son he receives. God rebukes us through the circumstances of life. Once one of our children is saved, then that child is now also a child of God. And this verse, Hebrews 12 and verse 6, applies to them. God is going to bring things into their lives because he is their heavenly Father, and he's going to use those circumstances to shape your child's life as well as you seeking to shape your child's life. Further, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap." So what Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 and Galatians 6 and verse 7 have in common is that they're both talking about the circumstances of life. We cannot always tell whether the circumstances that God brings into our lives or into the lives of our saved children are to chasten them, or God is simply allowing the law of sowing and reaping to be operating in their lives. Doesn't matter really. The bottom line is that we and our children need to learn righteousness. We need that peaceable fruit of righteousness that comes as God brings these circumstances into our lives and the lives of our children. We could call these circumstances of life natural consequences. And there's the word that you want for your blank. Natural consequences. And we need to teach into these natural consequences in our lives or in the life of the child. What do I mean by teaching into the natural consequences? Well, for example, if I see one of my children playing with a puppy, I might say, "Oh, be gentle with the puppy. Don't pull its hair." But next I know, I hear a yelp and then a scream, and that has indicated to me that the child has pulled the puppy's hair and the dog has nipped back. So the child has suffered the natural consequences, a nip, of pulling the puppy's hair. Would I spank my child for disobedience? Well, it's not necessary really, is it? I mean, they're already suffering some pain from the nip. But teach into the situation and say, "Now if you had obeyed Daddy, you wouldn't be crying now, would you? You need to learn to obey Daddy." And you teach into the situation. So in summary, we could say natural consequences are like a rebuke from the Lord. Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." Second, parents can use exactly the same justice that God uses with us. It's following exactly the pattern that God uses with us, learning from the model of our Heavenly Father. We could call this planned consequences. Planned consequences. And in certain circumstances, planned consequences cause more pain to a child than a spank, and therefore are more effective than a spank. Remember, there must be pain, for pain is the great teacher. Hebrews 12 and verse 11. "Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." The pain of planned consequences is kind of a non-verbal rebuke from the parents. Just as God brings natural consequences related to our poor decisions, we can bring planned consequences into the life of our children that causes pain in their lives for bad decisions in their lives also. We would tend to use the rod for disobedience, for rebellion, for that attitude of defiance. But we would tend to use planned consequences for unwise decisions, for irresponsibility. Okay, so if planned consequences, however, are going to be more effective than a spank, they can also be used for defiance, and there's certain situations where that's true. For that is what God does with us. If we're defiant with him, he will bring circumstances in our lives to discipline us. What do I mean by planned consequences? Let me give you four examples. First example might be irresponsibility with property. Dad has told Ryan, "I want you to put your bike away. I don't want you to leave your bike out." Dad comes home. What's out there in the front yard? The bike. And this has happened a number of times. He's had a warning. What would be a planned consequence? Well, a planned consequence would be to withhold the bike from the boy for a number of days, whatever a suitable number, till he learns. Because if a boy is loving to ride a bike, that's going to be a painful thing to have his bike withheld from him. It's a planned consequence. It was the bike that was issued. That's the bike that is used for the discipline to teach responsibility. Second example could involve irresponsibility with privileges. Very similar, really. Often little Philip is allowed to go next door to play with Billy. But he must ask Mum first. If he forgets to ask Mum, then he could be prevented from going to play with little Billy for the rest of the week. He loses the privilege because he was irresponsible with the privilege. Let me say the planned consequence of losing a privilege or losing property should not be a loss of property or activities that will help your child. An example of this would be a child could be stopped from going to Awana because they didn't do the dishes when Mum and Dad asked. Why deprive them of something that will help them? Whatever's going to help, allow, use other planned consequences. Wouldn't a better planned consequence be that now he has to take his sister's turn at the dishes also, not only to do the dishes themselves, but to have an added responsibility there? You see, the principle here is you counter irresponsibility with more responsibility. You counter irresponsibility with more responsibility. If she flat out refuses to do the dishes, that becomes then disobedience and that becomes a matter for the rod, right? And the aim there is to remove the foolishness, the rebellion from the heart of the child. The third example involves accidents. You do not spank for accidents. But when damage has been done, there is a responsibility to restitute. There is a responsibility to compensate. The Old Testament, Exodus chapter 22 and verse 5, there's many examples of this, but here's an example here. If a man causes a field or vineyard to be grazed and lets loose his animal and it feeds in another man's field, he shall make restitution from the best of his own field and the best of his own vineyard. In other words, you compensate, you more than compensate, you make sure that there is a payment back. Though no harm was intended, still there should be compensation or restitution for damage done. This is a principle that carries right throughout life. When we borrow things and damage them, they should be replaced. If a child breaks something, they may have to do extra chores at home to help pay for that item. Or if they're old enough, they might be required to help clean up or make a new part or whatever. But there should be a compensation or restitution. All these are examples of planned consequences by parents, and they're fitting for the disobedience or the irresponsibility that occurred. Planned consequences causing pain, for pain is the great teacher. A fourth example would involve social misbehavior. Social misbehavior. Isolation can be a painful consequence of social misbehavior. And this is the way that isolation should be used. Let's say you have invited all little Peter's friends over for a day to play together, but this particular day Peter's being particularly obnoxious. He's taking toys that others are playing with and he's being aggressive with others. You've given a warning, but he has not listened. Okay, Peter, I'm not going to spank you today. You're going to sit on your bed. I'm going to have you sit on your bed for 10 minutes, and when I come, I want you to tell me what you've been doing wrong. I want you to tell God what you've been doing wrong. And then I want you to come and tell your little friends here what you've been doing wrong. Peter says, but I want to play. Yes, I know you want to play. And that's why I'm sure 10 minutes on the bed is going to be a great help to you. Or what about if two of your children are fighting? Well, both children can be sent to their room to think about what they've been doing. And when you come to those children, you're going to teach into that moment. You're going to appeal to the conscience. Now, when you took that toy from your sibling, were you pleasing God or pleasing self? When you hit back, were you pleasing God or were you pleasing self? What does the Bible say? And you turn to James chapter 4 and talk about where wars and fights come. It comes from our selfish hearts. And then you would have the children say sorry to each other. You would have them work it out together. The loss of time playing and having to say sorry to each other may well be more effective than a spank. Okay, Proverbs 29 and verse 15 says, "The rod and rebuke, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." In summary, a rebuke can come from God in the form of natural consequences, or a rebuke can come from the parents by words and sitting down with your child and going through the teaching and appealing to the conscience would be part of that rebuke. But it also can come from the parents by planned consequences. And notice this is based on God's justice that we've read about in Hebrews chapter 12. The four examples of planned consequences are loss of property for a time because there was irresponsibility with property, loss of privilege for a time because there's been irresponsibility with privilege, restitution or compensation for accidents, and social isolation for social misbehavior. I hope you can see the biblical basis for each of these. The rod is more for defiance and disobedience, and planned consequences are more for irresponsibility and poor choices. Now, in application, I'd like to pass on you some further wisdom from some parenting experts, the Ezzos. I can't really see the biblical basis for this, but I pass on the wisdom to you too as parents. The Ezzos teach that the rod is most used in the early years and planned consequences are most used in the latter years. They would say the rod is most used between ages 2 and 6 and planned consequences are most used between ages 8 and 12. Okay, and you can see that on the graph on your bulletin. Nevertheless, both are going to be used together throughout childhood. The rod must be used. The rod must be used. It must be used in love, but it is only one tool in the parental workshop. The workshop that is shaping the heart of a child to be godly seed. Proverbs 20 and verse 11 says, "Even a child is known by his deeds, whether what he does is pure and right." Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for the wisdom of your word. And we want to search this word very carefully, Lord, to test these things to see if they be so. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would take from today, which is from your word, and that we would apply it in our families. And where we do spank, Lord, I pray that it would be done in love, never in anger, frustration, or whim. I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that we would be teaching our children the way of godliness, that we might have godly seed, that we might have a future church, a place to come and to worship you. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.